Today on Real Radio.
You will be convinced from the Bible that Jesus Christ is coming back for the church before the Great Tribulation period so clearly that you're going to change your mind if you have a different view, or you'll be so confused about your opposing view that you won't be able to tread water.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How a Church Ought to Be, continues in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 with verses 5 through 10. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to encourage the Thessalonian church for their bravery through many trials and severe suffering. He praised them for not giving up on their faith and taught them how to live in order to please God. The Thessalonian church was established on Paul's second missionary journey to a Roman city called Thessalonica. Now, Paul called them a model church and continued to instruct them of their need for Christ and how the power of the Holy Spirit can see them through any kind of spiritual attack. Today, Pastor Jack continues part two by defining the local church and its representation of the church worldwide. The local church is a congregation of born-again believers who are godly people. They share the gospel with others, and they're looking daily for the return of Jesus. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We come to the third. Remember last time together was the first, that was just the second. Now the third point to how a church ought to be is found in verse 8, and in verse 8 alone for the third point. It says here, "For from you the word of the Lord was sounded." You should circle the word sounded and drop down later in the verse to the word gone out. "The word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only to Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything." Isn't that a great statement? And here's the third point. A church ought to be enthusiastic. They ought to be an enthusiastic group of people. And I want you to hear me out on this. Please hear me on this. I'm not insinuating that all of us should be, "Oh, hi," you know, and all bubbly. That's not you, and that's not me. And if that's you, that's fine for you, but it's not fine for me. That is who you are. That's fine. I'm not talking about let's all be cheerleaders for God. I'm not talking about that. You like that, huh? Well, you just forget you saw that. We, by virtue of the Holy Spirit being in us, will be a changed people. Now, all those of you who are quiet and reserved, I want you to listen very carefully. We are to be an enthusiastic people, verse 8 tells us. And this is how a church ought to be. Enthusiasm results in evangelism. Question. Can passive, quiet people be evangelists? Oh, yes. Sometimes stronger and more powerful than others. Are we all to evangelize? Answer, yes. Every one of us. Paul told Timothy, writing to those who were at the church under Timothy, he says, "Timothy, you and the church be encouraged in this point. Do the work of an evangelist." Do the work of an evangelist. Are you an evangelist? I may not be an evangelist, personally, but I am to do the work of an evangelist. Watch this beautiful thing. Wednesday night, this young lady came up to me, and she said, "I just want to tell you, we had a great Easter." Well, praise the Lord, that's great. She goes, "You know what we did? I can't believe it. We took one of those flyers." Remember you were telling us to pass those flyers out? Yeah, yeah. "I took one of those flyers, went to one of my neighbors, opened up a door. Wound up talking with them. They came to the service. God's changing their lives." From a piece of paper. Oh, no. It wasn't the piece of paper. That was the little icebreaker in her mind and in our minds. She got up and moved, and though she was not Billy Graham or Mrs. Billy Graham, she made the effort to be like an evangelist, and God honored it, and now the wall has been broken down. There's communication, and the people are hearing the word of God. That is doing the work of an evangelist. And we all are called to do it. That's why in this church, we are training just oodles of people, and oodles are a lot of people, on Thursday nights to evangelize. And listen, if you think you're going to escape, the Lord laid this on my heart over a year ago now. That's why this thing's going on Thursday nights, to cause the church to be equipped to evangelize the world. And that's all of us. And you might say, I can't talk. I understand that. The Holy Spirit wants to change that. But I'm not very enthusiastic. Listen, you are or you shall be. But I'm very, I'm an introvert. You can continue to be an introvert. That's okay. The word enthusiastic, enthusiasm, you know where I'm going with this. I've given this definition, I think, 3 times in the last 6 months or so. I love it. I love this. Enthusiastic. Listen, understand this before I give you the definition. When God saves you, He didn't die on the cross to change your personality. Who you are is who you are. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Who you are is who you are, and how you relate, how you speak, how you live, how you... Look, if it takes you 10 minutes to get to that back door, and it takes me 3 seconds, it has to do with our makeup. If you talk slower, you talk fast, it has to do with your makeup. It has nothing to do with enthusiasm. Don't let me ever fool you by being excited about God and you thinking, well, you know, he's just an excitable kind of guy. Well, I am, but I can also become very depressed. Well, you seem insane on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Well, it's because I've been in the Bible. It always picks me up. It's the difference. But the fact is, to be enthusiastic, we need to understand that your personality will not change as a believer. God will just simply infuse into you enthusiasm. And you say, well, what is that? Well, watch this. Enthusiasm, according to the Heritage Dictionary, which, by the way, you can throw away after I give you this definition. It's the worst dictionary. The Heritage Dictionary says that enthusiasm, I'm going to read it, listen. Enthusiasm, great excitement for or an interest in a subject or a cause. Second definition, a source or cause for great interest. Third definition, ecstasy arising from a supposed possession by God, a religious fanatic. Watch this. Now, first of all, they said an ecstasy arising from a supposed possession by God, a religious fanatic. Watch this. Unbeknown to the Heritage Dictionary people is the true meaning to the word enthusiasm. They don't have a clue. Doesn't that sound rather authoritative? That's because if you ever want to find out what a word really means, listen, this is true. If you ever want to find out what a word really means, go to the oldest dictionary you can get your hands on. Did you know that? If you've got a 1989 dictionary, go to a 1931. If you can get an 1849, it's even better. You go back to the English. We don't speak English. So, I got an Oxford Dictionary. That's huge. Went and looked at this thing. 1933. Enthusiasm, the act of being possessed by God. Enthusiastic. Well, I'm a golf enthusiast. Oh, are you? Yes. I'm a motor car, I'm an auto race enthusiast. Are you? We don't know English. The word EN, enthusiast or enthusiastic, the word EN is internal. Theos, God. Astic, reaction. An internal reaction to God. I'm a auto racing enthusiast. Oh, so you're possessed by auto racing. Now we laugh, but you know what? It may be true. It's their God, or whatever it might be. But the word means enthusiastic. It's a theological term that the world has no right to use. Through God. God in you internally causes a reaction. We are to be an enthusiastic people. Why? God's possessing us. If we see people jumping up and down at a baseball game, why are they jumping up and down? Because they are possessed by the God of baseball. It's true. Isn't it funny? It's true. What? Look, take Anaheim Stadium. Bring it in here. Jump up and down, they'll have us arrested. They'll think we're lunatic, right? Now, you jump up and down like they do at Anaheim Stadium in a church because God is great and God is awesome and great and all that, they'll think you're nuts, right? But if we take your excitement over Jesus Christ and put it over to the stadium and somebody hits a home run, they won't be able to tell you from the crowd. What are you worshiping? It makes all the difference in the world. We are to be enthusiastic people for God. Jonathan, David's son, had a great way with that. Or Saul's son. Beautiful. Beautiful example of enthusiasm toward the Lord. By the way, a lack of enthusiasm, people, is the single most dangerous suppressant to evangelism. And that being, too, the reason why we do not experience enthusiasm by the Holy Spirit is often because of unconfessed sin. King David said in Psalm 51, he said this, listen, verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Why did he say that? He had gotten caught for adultery and murder. So now he's repenting to God. And he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with the generous spirit. And then he says, only then will I be able to teach transgressors your way. A lot of us can't share Jesus Christ with enthusiasm because there's sin laden in our lives. You can't share, you don't even have the heart to share the Lord possibly because you're laden down like King David, and the Lord wants that clean from you. It says that the word of God has gone out from them. The word means to flow like a river. Isn't that a beautiful thing? What a dynamic church this was. And then finally this, the final point, is in verses 9 to 10, and that is, how ought a church to be? The church should be an expectant people, a people filled with expectancy. Look at verse 9. It says, for they themselves declare concerning us. Who's they? All the people throughout Macedonia and the rest of the known world in that geographical area. It says here, verse 9, that they themselves, all these people, declare concerning us what manner of entry we had among you. It's obvious to us by what we hear rumored all around that, man, when you opened up your heart to us presenting the gospel, you opened it wide because, man, you took it in. Watch this. Why are we involved in Russia or in other places in the world? Look at the pattern here in the first chapter of Thessalonians. The church received the word of God from Paul. It changed their lives, and what did they do with it? They sent it right back out again. People, have you been here longer than 2 months? We need to be sending it out again. Have you heard how to come to Jesus? Then let's let them know. We've got this mindset of, well, we've got to sit in the church for 6 months, or not 6 months, 6 years or 60 years. No. Listen, here's a trick to spiritual growth. You, everybody listening, you're not going to hear this in many churches because people kind of freak out over this. But it's true. Get saved. Get serving. Grow like a weed. Get saved. Sit around. Grow fat spiritually. Roll over and die. Have a heart attack. Happens all the time. Most people get caught up into that trap. They just sit and take in and take in and take in. And then watch, is it happening to you right now? Is it happening? Sit, sit, sit. All of a sudden, messages are boring. Things are not happening. My life, I don't know. And you come in and you come to church and you're doing your grocery list. If you're doing your grocery list or you're making a note to change the oil in the car, listen, that is a clue to tell you, take what you know and get going with it. But don't come back anymore if you're not going to do it. Because if you come and hear the word or the word's going out and you're not doing anything with it, you're only hurting yourself. Get going. Get going. And to make this very clear, I am not asking you to sign up for something here. You can go to some other church. Just get going, will you? Go serve Jesus Christ. Why are you such a big push on this, Jack? Because that's the way you grow the most. I've been a Christian 9 years. Great, great, great. That's good. What's going on? Oh, nothing. I just come. You know, I've been attending churches for 9 years. Great. You ever ushered or anything? No, just okay. Well, you're sharing with your boss? No, I'd really kind of keep it private. I'm concerned about that. There needs to be an effect. And expectant people, watch this. Verse 10. Oh, I'm sorry, back up a little bit. Made an entry, says, middle part of verse 9, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. In that statement is the definition of repentance. They turned away from their old life, they followed God, and what do? They're serving Him. Look at verse 10, and this is going to be exciting. Get your notebook out, and then we'll end right here. Abruptly, we'll end. This is very key to this book. Verse 10. They're an expectant people. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus. Even Jesus. To wait. Here is what a Christian's to do. We are to be serving and waiting. We're to be reaching the world and watching for Christ. Watch this. Even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. In your Bible, in your notebook, mark this down. Every one of the chapters in 1 Thessalonians 5 ends with an exhortation about the rapture of the church. Everybody listening? Here's the important thing. 1 Thessalonians deals with the rapture of the church. 2 Thessalonians deals with the second coming of Jesus Christ. Both mutually exclusive events, at least 7 years apart from one another. 1 Thessalonians, every chapter in 1 Thessalonians ends with an exhortation to watch for the imminent return of Christ, meaning no warnings, Jesus could come at any second. Verse 10 is one of them right here. Next to your margin, write down 2:19, chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 2:19 says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown, our rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? It's talking about the rapture in context. Write down in your margin right there, chapter 3, verse 13. Chapter 3, 13. That says, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Why does it say all His saints? Because the brothers and sisters who have died and are in heaven right now, 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us that when He comes to rapture us, He's bringing those departed souls with Him in the clouds, and also the angelic host. Next to that margin, you can write down 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Listen to this. Then we, that was Paul speaking, who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the word rapture in Latin right there. Caught up. It's one word in Latin. It's rapture. Harpazo in Greek. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we, Paul, shall always be with the Lord. It's the rapture. Next to that verse, write down chapter 5, verse 9. Chapter 5, verse 9, and he ends the book with what the meaning is in our study this morning. Verse 9 says, for God did not ordain, appoint, reserve us for wrath, judgment, indignation, punishment, but to obtain, enjoy, possess, have salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. People, in verse 9 right here, circle the word wrath, turn back to chapter 1, and circle the word wrath. It is God's vengeance, judgment, outpouring of His anger during the Great Tribulation period. It also refers to hell. Now, somebody says that's all that it refers to. No, listen, it can't. First of all, the book of 1 Thessalonians talks about the rapture. But here's the point. Listen, not only has He delivered us from the tribulation period, of course He's delivered us from hell. We're Christians, we're going to heaven. That's a given. This verse right here says that He's delivered us from the wrath to come. He's talking about the judgment of God. And as we get into this book, listen, I'm going to make a tall statement here. You will bring your notebook, bring your pen. You will be convinced from the Bible and the original scriptures that Jesus Christ is coming back for the church before the great tribulation period. So clearly, that you're going to change your mind if you have a different view, or you'll be so confused about your opposing view that you won't be able to tread water. Now, is that a big deal? No, it's not a big deal. Well, Jack, it sounds like you're escaping. It's true. And I'll end here. Luke 21:36, pray always that you may be found worthy, that's in Jesus Christ, to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth, that you may stand before the Son of Man. Am I escaping the tribulation period? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You better believe I am. How are you going to do it? Jesus Christ is coming back for me. Without a warning. Key to the rapture doctrine. And this is the wonderful thing about Paul. Can you believe Paul the Apostle taught a church that's a couple months old the doctrine of election? And the doctrine of the rapture of the church before the tribulation period in a couple of weeks, a couple of months after being saved. Is it not important today? Isn't that exciting? I just want to keep going. Oh, Jack, please no. No, let's pray. Let's pray quick. Father, we are absolutely blessed by the power of your word that we can be different. Lord, we're so funny. We can be moping and complaining about things the way things are. But Lord, we're also, so often, many of us are not open for change. And Lord, it is your will and your desire that we all be changed as believers from glory to glory, that we mature more in Jesus Christ day by day. Father, there's only one way that that's going to happen, and that is being in your word. And Father, we pray now this morning that you would ignite this church to be baptized, galvanized, dipped, scooted along, pushed, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Father, if there's anything that this church ever does that brings you glory and honor, the day that we fail to recognize that it's by the grace of God that it's been done is the day that we fail as a church. May we always give you the honor and the glory. And Lord, may we look instantly, momentarily for your soon return. In Jesus, may our hearts be healed. In your name we pray.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Be. Thanks for listening today. And as we turn away from our past and stay active in our service toward God, we can anticipate with eagerness the Lord's return. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And by the way, did you know that you can get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet? That's real easy to do. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you can point and you can click and find that app for your smartphone or tablet. But there's an easier way to do it. Just go to your app store, whether you're an Apple user, an Android, Google, whatever. Just go to the app store and look for the Real Life app. Let's say you're sitting in the doctor's office, you're at the registry of motor vehicles or something along those lines, and you've got plenty of time to kill. Well, I'll tell you what, a great way to spend that time would be with the Real Life app. Check out what's going on here at Real Radio. And listen, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love the videos that he does. There's a whole video section. We've got radio section, the devotional section, resources available for you. I'm just looking at the website myself right now. There's a section right there at our website. Look for the Real Life app. Direct yourself to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Point and click. Get exactly what you need. Get that Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.